Philemon, one chapter in this book, tucked in between Titus and Hebrews in our New Testament. We want to look at forgiveness for the next couple weeks. We've already started on looking at the connection between Christians and forgiveness. Now I'd like to look at the connection of character and forgiveness. What is the character of forgiveness, or not the character of forgiveness, but rather the character of one who can forgive? The character of one who can forgive. In Philemon, chapter number 1, verses 4 through 7. Philemon, chapter number 1. Verse 4 through 7, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, and the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you and as we study out these verses, may the Bible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give those that are followers of you an understanding of the enablement that you've given to them because of your death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And the enablement that you've given to them because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to direct them and give them power over the desires of their flesh. This power enables us to forgive. And God, if there be one here today that doesn't know you, may they come to know you today and the great forgiveness that you offer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a very personal letter that Paul is writing to Philemon, yet it seems like it would have been read in the assembly of like-minded believers that gathered in Philemon's house. Of course, we know Philemon to be a very wealthy Christian to most scholars, because the church actually met in his house, and also he would have had at that time the ability to purchase slaves, in which that time would have been taken care of by the master. There were rules of that time that a master must take good care of their slaves. And we know Onesimus, we're going to find out about Onesimus in a couple weeks, was a slave that decided to flee from Philemon and probably took some money with him and ran away from Philemon, and so therefore he ran to Rome. He was living on the streets of Rome with no home, and he met Paul. Paul was under house arrest, was able to rent a house in where Onesimus was found by Paul. Paul won Onesimus to Christ, and he also won Philemon to Christ in Colossae. Now, Onesimus was one to Christ in Rome. And now there's a problem, and I want to be very, and I'll get into this more next week. You know, you cannot just, when there is an offense that has been given, Paul did not just say everything is fine between you and Philemon. No, he had Onesimus go back and ask for forgiveness and ask to be restored into a relationship with Philemon. Now, we as Christians should never become bitter against those that have offended and truly sinned against us. But we also need to demand that things that have been done wrong need to be acknowledged as being wrong, because in the acknowledgement of sin is true forgiveness. All right? So, don't hear me teaching in this series that you should forgive. You should always, let me state it this way. You should always have a spirit of forgiveness towards others. But that the spirit of forgiveness does not mean that you okay wrong. It does not mean that you look over how one has offended God, but rather in a loving spirit, you direct that one who is looking to restore relationship. You look to be guided by the Holy Spirit to direct them back to a godly relationship with God. Okay, so what am I saying this to this? We are not talking about just appeasing people. Rather, we're talking about correcting and restoring relationships or pointing ones who don't know Christ to a relationship with Christ. So, I don't want any of my sermons about forgiveness, and I'm looking at forgiveness directly, to be taken that we just go along to get along with people. If one has done wrong, they need to be confronted in, now catch this, not in a bitter way. All right? And you don't have to confront everyone that does wrong. Rather, you have to confront those ones that the Spirit directs you to and whom have a relationship with you. So I'm not going out into the store owner that is selling alcohol and saying, do you know what your alcohol is doing to families? Why? Because God has not brought me into a relationship with that person. Thus, why should I do that? And I personally don't see there's an opinion here, okay? So this isn't Bible, and I'm not saying people that do this are wrong, okay? But some people say, Pastor James, why don't you go into picketing around Victoria Hospital about how much God hates abortion? Why aren't you involved with that kind of stuff? Because I don't have any relationship with the people, okay? I would rather build a relationship with somebody, them to see that I have a true relationship with God and therefore I'm able to love in a godly manner before I address problems, all right? So I really don't want people to hear me preach on forgiveness as just me saying there's no need for reconciliation. There's no need for a problem to be taken care of, right? And we'll look at that in a couple weeks. Paul says there was a problem. Onesimus stole, and he said, you know what? Onesimus doesn't have the money, but I'm willing to give of my own money to take care of the problem, right? So I am not saying to forgive somebody, you say, that it was okay what they did. Or to build a relationship with somebody that has no repentance. But even if someone has no repentance, we are not to be embittered towards that person. So that's what I'm speaking of. All right? Now, I'm going to add a little bit of biblical context to this because Paul is not meaning in Philemon to give a doctrine on forgiveness. And next week we'll look at some doctrines on why we need to forgive. But rather, Paul is speaking to a Christian brother that is mature in the faith and is coming towards him in not commandment to forgive, but the love behind forgiveness, right? So we're going to approach this book in that way. So we live in a world today that can't understand the thought of forgiveness. The only principle that this world knows is vengeance, and they have no understanding of forgiveness. That's why the most popular movies of today are about vengeance, not about forgiveness. And the most popular movies from Hollywood that has produced is about gangster lifestyles of vengeance, right? That's why, Christian, we need to watch what we intake so that we're not drawn in a direction that's away from the Word of God. So as we think about this, I was listening to a sermon by a pastor, and he gave us the characteristics of one who forgave, and then he gave us some very interesting reasons on why one needs to be forgiving. And the first point he said is unforgiveness causes us to live in the past. If you don't forgive, you're going to be constantly living in past offenses. How many of you have ever met people that can bring up things that happened decades ago, and when they talk about it, it's like they're there. Like, when did this happen? 35 years ago. Well, 35 years ago, I was 5 years old, man. You know, like, but when they talk to you, they can remember the offense like it was yesterday. People that live that type of life are unpleasant to be around, and they're full of bitterness. And usually they make themselves, through stress, have mental health problems. And I'm not saying all mental health problems are from unforgiveness. And I'm not saying all physical health problems are from unforgiveness. I'm saying it plays a role. And so as we look at this, we understand that Proverbs tells us that bitterness is like a cancer to the bone. We understand that living in past offenses makes you stay in the past instead of striving for the future. Second, unforgiveness causes one to grow bitter. From all the, and how can you not help but grow bitter when all you're thinking about is the negative of what others have done to you? You know, in life, God blesses us with a lot of spiritual blessings. Now, the choices of others and how, because of God's justice and because of God's love, He allows people to have choices. And we need to remember this. Our choices affect more than us. They affect everyone around us, and they affect the people that we're closest to the most. So if I decide that I want to get addicted to a drug, and I go out and I get addicted to the drug, who's going to be affected by that the most? The people I'm closest to. My wife, my family, our church, right? So as we think about this and as we go through this, we need to understand if you are unforgiving, you'll live in the past. If you're unforgiving, bitterness will come up. If you're unforgiving, it gives cause for a Christian to give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Now you have to remember, when the Bible was written, it was written in some with no chapters or verses attached. It was a book, and we added the chapters and verses at a later time. So this is a thought. This is all one thought, okay? So it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Okay, so what happens, husband and wife, if you're allowing offenses to accrue in your marriage? You know, you started your marriage in a loving position where you loved and you thought you got married to the most beautiful lady in the world. And the lady thought that she got married to the most loving, kind, maybe not my wife, but most women, when they get married, wow. You don't get married to people that you can't stand. That happens after marriage. Well, no. Why, I'm not trying to be funny here. That might have come out wrong, but that's the truth, right? Because if it wasn't the truth, 50% of marriage wouldn't end in divorce. So what happens? Well, a man, he gets married and an offense is caused between the husband and wife. And the wife, she's offended by something the husband do. And they go to bed and they don't take care of it. And that adds. And then the next day it becomes easier not to forgive. And that adds. And then the man goes to work and he has all these built up resentments against his wife. And the secretary comes. It's so kind. It's so nice. But his relationship's not good with his wife. And what happens? You give place to the devil. to creep into a Christian's life and to bring something foreign into the marriage that will destroy the marriage. Unforgiveness is a poison to relationships that gives place to the devil. Children that get angry with their parents because their parents have made a mistake. And parents, let me stop here and say, allow your children to openly discuss in a time of non-conflict why you make decisions that you make. The time to discuss it is not when they're trying to cross the road and a car is coming. That time is for obedience. Later on, when they're in a safe place, you can discuss to them why you yelled. I yelled to get your attention, not because I was mad at you, but because I didn't want the truck to run over you. But you understand that? So what is my point here? Children can grow bitter towards their parents when offenses aren't taken care of. And parents, be willing to not provoke your children to wrath. Children, realize that God has placed you in the family that you're in for a purpose. And though your parents aren't perfect, they do love you. They are trying to provide a home and a stable environment for you while working through their individual problems at the same time. If you don't do that, you will give place to the devil. If you do not forgive, the devil will creep in and will destroy the joy of your salvation. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For I have forgave anything to whom I forgave it. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So Satan will take an advantage in the spirit of one who is unforgiving. The devil, through the means of an unforgiving spirit, can rob and defraud, advantage means to defraud, one of their spiritual rights or their spiritual blessings that they have in Christ. So if you're unforgiving, the devil can make you live as if you weren't even a Christian. All the joy that Christians, that Christ wants you to have on this life. Now, let me be very specific because I don't want people to misunderstand this. When you're saved, you are entered into a covenant relationship by which Christ has paid for your sin debt. Therefore, the punishment of sin has been placed on the person of Christ. Another thing that happened in your salvation is you were given the right to have power over sin because you are no longer under the king. You're no longer in the darkness, but you've been translated from the kingdom of Satan now into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you have all the rights of being a citizen in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But what happens? Well, Romans chapter 6 tells us we yield our members of the flesh, our thinking, our eyes, our bodies to be instruments of either Satan or Jesus. Now, Jesus is still the king of us entirely. And one day we will be resurrected to never even be in the presence of sin, to live in perfection with God forever and ever. And I don't just mean perfection as completion. I mean perfection in the sense that sin's reign and sin's dominion has no touch on our heavenly eternity. Sin will be vanquished from the sight of God in a place called the lake of fire forever and ever. That's what the Bible clearly teaches.
But on this earth, because God wants us to choose to follow him, he allows the messengers and the war of Satan to directly come against us. And you can see when you are losing in this battle because of the lack of yielding to Jesus by a spirit of unforgiveness. And then what does that do? Well, all these advantages that are yours. See, God came to give them life. And not just life eternally, but life abundantly. And he wants to give you abundant life right now, according to John chapter 10. Now the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus comes to give life, and it super abundant in your life. So how does the thief kill and destroy and become a thief to ones that are in the kingdom of Christ? Well, through the means of the fleshly desire to keep an accounting spirit towards others that you refuse to forgive. I don't even think it's healthy for a Christian to keep account of what other people do to them. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, release that. Say, God had a purpose for that. I'm built through the persecution, through the wrong things that were beyond my capability to take care of. I release that person. That doesn't mean that his relationship with God is right. It doesn't mean her relationship with God was right. It doesn't mean I excuse what they did. But I'm not going to let somebody else's actions that they refuse to ask forgiveness for and refuse to admit were wrong to ruin my life and ruin the super abundant blessings God wants to give to me through salvation. But even more incomprehensible is when a person that's offended somebody else comes and asks forgiveness and a Christian refuses to forgive them. And my goodness, you are about to be a plaything to the devil's plan as a Christian. What a terrible, terrible thing. Finally, unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God. Not finally for the message. Finally for this point. Unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God. Unforgiveness hinders the fellowship of the Christian with God. So Matthew chapter number 6. And I mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again. Repetition sometimes is the best teacher. Young people, repetition and faith are the best teacher, not experience. There's some things that God never wants his children to experience. All right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, forgive your trespasses. So what is the point? Why do we desire as Christians to have the character that's capable of forgiving? Well, because if you're unforgiving, you live in the past offenses. You are embittered by living in the past. You are giving room for the devil to defraud you from your spiritual inheritance, not eternal, but right now. And breaking fellowship with God. So forgiveness is a huge thing, is it not? And having the spirit not to say, you know what you're doing is fine, but having the spirit that isn't embittered at people's offending you is very important for the Christian. Because God wants us to live in our eternal life that was given to us at salvation in abundance right now. Christianity advantage of being a Christian, the great blessings and privileges of being a Christian aren't for the sweet by and by. They're for us to experience right now. through persecution, through trial. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. We will rather glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Therefore, as a Christian, we take pleasure, or we're built, we're not giddy, but we are built by infirmities, by slander, by persecution for the name of Christ's sake. Because when I'm weak, then he is strong. But if we're living in revengeful, I'm going to take the place of God and I'm going to be the revenger. I'm strong. Therefore, who's weak? Now, Christ is never weak, but I'm saying his loving ability to let us choose to use him in his life becomes weak. Don't have an attitude of unforgiveness. So let's go back to Philemon's testimony with the saints. Let's go back to Philemon's test. So what is there, this character in Philemon that gives him the capability to forgive? Well, he has this, and how does Paul know about this? Well, because of his testimony with the saints. Verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So Paul, when praying to God, gave thanks to God for Philemon constantly. Philemon has a good testimony of an ability of taking seriously the relationship he has with God. Now, as a pastor, there are Christians that when God brings them to mind, I am filled with thanksgiving because they are servants that give themselves for the benefit of others. And there are godly saints that are allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be brought forth, yielding their in their lives through the spiritual direction they're yielding to. However, in my responsibility of stewardship for the church as Christ under shepherd, when I'm praying for some of the Christ beloved, I am praying for wisdom because of the immaturity and problems that could be brought in because of a lack of humility. Philemon doesn't have this. Philemon has a character and a reputation and a testimony with the saints of loving the saints. So Paul knows that he can bring certain issues up without Philemon throwing a fit and blowing up and saying, "Do you know what they did to me?" Sometimes in the body of Christ, and hopefully not very many times in Bethel, there will be people that, and by the way, when you're an unforgiving, bitter person, you wear it. You wear it on your facial expressions. You wear it on your passive-aggressive slanders that you use against other people. You wear it on your constant ability to be offended at the littlest things. You wear that. Now, if there's a problem, you take care of it. And I'm not saying that you excuse sin, so don't misunderstand. Thanks be to God, I have very little of that in our ministry here at Bethel. And thank you, Jesus, for allowing that to happen. But the reason sometimes we can't take care of problems is because people are so immature, they're so hard to approach. And you're like, "Hey, you know, I sense there's a problem here, and, well, why are you judging me?" And that type of attitude. Well, we're not trying to judge you. We're trying to let you have the testimony that you can have this abundant, fruitful Christian life through the power of God. So what else do we see? Paul declares Philemon's character in Philemon chapter 5 and 6. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging
of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what is this telling us? That the communication of faith... No, sorry. This is telling us that God is in Philemon, working his life through Philemon. Love speaks of God's love giving with no thought of return. So in that day, if you are with me on Wednesday night, you realize that there's a love feast that happens before the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Corinthian church, this will work into Philemon. Just give me a second to work it out. The richer people were supposed to bring food to cover for the poor people's needs. And what was happening is there was cliques being built and there was partiality taking place where only the rich people would eat. And they would eat gluttonously and get drunk, and the poor people would be hungry. So what is happening here? He's saying, in your life, you're showing the love of Christ because what you have, you freely distribute among the saints. You freely give among the saints. And I'm telling you, an unforgiving person doesn't give. They don't give of their time because they're afraid another person is going to hurt them. They don't give of their finances because... they deserve it, not other people. They don't give up their love and their ability because people are just going to disappoint me anyways. They're constantly seeing the faults in everybody else. I can't believe that they're doing this and they expect this result. That's not Philemon. He's filled with the love of Christ to the point where it's flowing out to everybody else. And he's using the blessings and benefits God has allowed him to be in to show love to other people. So the characteristic of one that is forgiving is the love of Christ is made evident in their life. They are able to forgive because they understand how much they have been given through Christ. And they distribute that knowledge by how much they give to others. So there's this love, this provision that he's giving for the benefits of others. There's also a faith. There's a faith in Christ. There's a faith that Christ has a purpose for everything that's allowed in his life. There's a love that he can show others because there's a real faith that has actions in the one he's truly serving by loving others. Do you have faith that God has forgiven your sins? If you have true faith that God has forgiven your sins, and you understand how wicked and vile and evil your sins are in the sights of God, then you don't have a lot of problems with forgiving others. Because you've realized how much you've been forgiven. So a characteristic of somebody that's able to forgive is they have faith in Christ and what he's forgiven them. So Philemon had this love and faith towards the Lord, and it was flowing out to all the saints. He's following the two great commandments in Matthew 2:22-37-40. Jesus saith unto them, when asked what are the great commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang the law and the prophets. So love of God enables us to have a love for another. So if we think we're spiritual and we downgrade and we make fun of and we are people that nobody can be around because we just seem too stoic and not able to forgive others, then do we really love God? What I'm trying to say is people that really love God are approachable. Why? Because to really love God, you really love others. Because it's in the reality of your love for God that you're able to forgive and love
others.
Philemon's communication of faith shows that he's able to have the character of forgiveness. So we see here is this Christian. He has a testimony with a saint. He also has this character of communication of saints. And then the practical working out of this communication of faith is seen in verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So faith again means Christian faith, a firm and confident belief in Jesus and his good news to man. This was a reality. It wasn't just a announced faith. It was a faith that took action. How did this faith take action that this individual called Philemon understood God's forgiveness for him? It took action with his ability to fellowship and come alongside of and be in one with the needs of others. So Paul's looking at this and he's sending Onesimus back with great confidence that Philemon will forgive Onesimus, and I'll have to find out in heaven what happened. But he knows this. Why? Because there is this action to the faith of Philemon that tears past this profession of faith that has no action. No, there's action to show that it's real. There's action to show that there's a care for other people. There's an action that he knows that even the weaker brethren in the faith that come to Philemon's house are going to be loved and cared for just as much as the stronger, more mature Christians in the faith. There's this realization that Philemon is serious about his faith, and this seriousness doesn't just come from his own character and his own self-righteousness, but it comes from a righteousness outside of Philemon's flesh as far as his desires, because you know what? We can be nice to other people for advantage. Our flesh knows how to pretend. But when we're nice to people that have nothing to offer us, that's a reality of God. What do we have to offer to God? That he would send his own son to become perfect flesh, to fulfill all the prophecies of what the deliverer. Somebody asked, how can I know that Jesus Christ is the deliverer? By all the prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled about the deliverer. And what has happened? Here, God is trying to gain a relationship with man by giving himself for man's needs. Could God? Well, God can't be bitter. That would be sacrilegious. But could God have judged us on the spot? He sure could have. But he has a character of forgiveness. So if we're one with Christ and we're Christians, should not we also have a character of forgiveness? And should it not be evident to others? That's a person that has a character of forgiveness. Because he has a real walk with the living God. Do you have a real walk with the living God? Are you able to forgive others? So notice the strong faith unifies him with Christ. Again, this knowledge and unification with Christ refers to this powerful knowledge that influences forms of religious life. A knowledge laying claim to personal involvement. A great illustration of this is a man used to walk across the tightrope at Niagara Falls from one end to the other. And one day he decided to put a wheelbarrow and walk across and walk back. And then he asked the crowd, how many of you think I could carry you safely from one point of Niagara to the other? And everybody said, oh, we think you can. And he said, what about you? And he said, no, thank you. So there was a proclamation of faith. But when it really came to it, did those people have faith?
No, because their faith didn't cause any type of action by the direction of the Holy Spirit. So here's this faith, this strong faith, this faith that enabled him to do works that God approved. Now, this isn't self-righteousness, because Isaiah 64 tells us all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 53 says, all of us as sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. So we're sinners in Adam, and we're sinners by choice. So, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, Paul announces about Philemon that he does what God calls good works. So there's a relationship in the character of Philemon that enables him to forgive, because he has a union with Christ. And through that union in Christ, and through repentance and faith, and that oneness with Christ, he's able to produce things that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares that God calls good. Christian, if you're living according to the direction of the Spirit, it will be evident through your works. Why? Because it won't be your works. It'll be Christ. And isn't that very interesting? I think it's verse 6. That the communication of the faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. In who? In Christ Jesus. So everything that was in him that was produced because of was good was because he was in who? He was in Christ Jesus. And so Christ Jesus was producing a character of good works through Philemon. Therefore, Paul's very confident that Philemon has the ability, because Christ is in him, to have the character to be able to forgive, because it is Christ forgiving Onesimus through Philemon. Finally, and this is the last finally. Third, the character of consolation. Verse 7 shows that Philemon had a character of forgiveness. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels, or the inner person of the saints, are refreshed by thee, brother. We have great joy because we have this divine grace and favor exercise towards us. It's manifest in the blessings that Christ bestows through you, Philemon. And it affects the mind, will, and emotion, the body, spirit, and soul of those in the congregation. How many of you have ever had to deal with something that's negative that affects you so deep it affects you internally? It touches down to your very soul. How many of you have ever been around people that are so kind and so gracious and so loving? Yeah, the best part of it wasn't how your body was affected by that, but how your inner man was uplifted, and you were reminded of the love of God, and you were reminded that God cared, because you were able to be around somebody that distributed that love to others. I guarantee you, that person that is able to do that has a character of forgiveness, because Christ lives in them. And they're following the directions of the Spirit instead of the desires of the flesh. So, I think it would be a good goal for all of us to know Christ that intimately, so that others, when asking us to forgive, knew that we had a character of forgiveness because of our relationship with Christ.